Thank you.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ and the Transformation Talk Radio. This segment, Rodney will speak about, we'll close it on what action we can take if we actually find that anger is also a friend of ours, how we, and that it's to see it as a signal. But then what are some concrete actions that we can take? And I also want to talk about Rodney's book as well. So welcome back, Rodney.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So couple different things. What are, you know, let's say, and this is an overwhelming amount of information. If someone was just to take one step, what would it be?
To become aware when you are angry is the first step. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that the most easily and the most directly is to tune into your body and find out where you're feeling, whatever it is you're feeling. If it's irritation, if it's annoyance, be aware that is the beginning stage of anger. Okay. Mm. And if you can catch anger at the early stages before it becomes full blown, it is much, much, much easier to manage it, to understand it, to work with it before it gets to the point where it's escalated and you're either completely angry or really enraged about something. So pay attention, first of all, to what you're experiencing in your body. If it's tense, if it's hot, if it's gurgling around somewhere, ask yourself, is this irritation? And understand that is a part of anger.
Mm, interesting. So really becoming aware of anger is really the first step. And I think some of the other ones that you, that we talked about, I mean, I think your step, from my perspective, mm-hmm. it seems like if you're going to do one thing, listen to the segment where Rodney walk through, her story of her experience with this person who, didn't meet their expectations in the book. Now, you've had other people who haven't met your expectations. Is that right? You're sharing?
Oh, honey, I've had so many.
Or animals. Let me cue you in. An animal that didn't meet your expectation.
I was just telling CJ during the break that my dog, who was a little six-year-old schnoodle, is a wonderful little dog, but I get so angry at him when we're out walking or when he's barking in the apartment and he won't stop. And truly, anger arises. Now, I'm supposed to be a fairly enlightened being, but it's true, you know, that there is a lot of awareness there, and yet the anger arises. So my question that I have to ask myself is, what is going on, Rogani, that you're so angry you want to smack your little dog, which, by the way, I would never do.
Step on, what are you angry about, Rogani? So what are you angry about when your dog does this?
He is bothering me. He is okay. Not doing what I want him to do. He is not being quiet. He's barking. He's pulling on the leash instead of walking calmly next to me. So then my question is, so why isn't he filling my expectation?
Right.
It's so easy with a dog because you can see the dog has to be trained. So I haven't done what needs to be done to train the dog. Mm-hmm. So I'm paying for my lack of attention to what I could do to make my relationship with my dog easier.
Okay, so did you go to the third step and forgive yourself that you haven't trained the dog?
I do. I laugh and I go, well, you know, so your dog gets pissed off and he's a little bit of a rebel and so are you, so just live with it. You know, it comes around to remembering he's a dog and dogs are going to bark. Yeah. And dogs are going to pull on their leash. You know, they're animals. And
so, ladies, when your husband has a similar type of thing, men will be men. They're animals.
And women will be women.
Yes, they're cats. They'll pull on your leash.
I mean,
let it go.
Ultimately, it always comes back to the spiritual perspective of you can be happier in life when you let life be what it is and stop trying to make it something different. Now, that's a problem because we're all designed to make life better.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a paradox that we have to learn to live with and navigate. And if you understand it, life becomes a lot easier. That's really what my book is about and what my trainings are about.
Yeah. So tell us about what prompted you. I mean, what in your heart brought you to write the book the new book that you're coming out in January?
It was because it changed my life so much to become mm-hmm. aware that life was a two-sided coin. And when I stopped trying to make it be just the side I liked and stopped trying to get rid of the side I didn't like, everything was just incredibly easier. It didn't mean there still weren't things I didn't like, because there's a lot of life I don't like. There's a lot of my life I don't like. There's a lot of things I don't like about life and about the world. But it I don't put energy in anymore to trying to get rid of them so that I can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, to try to change them to make the world a better place is why I wrote the book. Right.
Yeah.
'Cause it changed my life. But life is really made up of two sides of a coin in almost every context. And until I learned that, I was not able to say, here's my expectation and it's okay if it doesn't get met.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I understand that it's not always going to get met.
Right. And I think that was one of the key things in retelling the story that you had about your work associate is that, you know, life isn't going to always give you what you want.
That's
I mean,
right.
I think that that's the key thing. So walking around with the expectation and, in your model, the, you know, leaning towards one side, wanting something so desperately, not recognizing and realizing that in fact life is part of these two sides causes suffering.
It does. It causes a great deal of suffering. And part of what I'm motivated by is to try. I mean, I have a long spiritual background, was with a guru for many years, for 13 years, and I have done meditation forever and a day. And I have a bit of a complaint, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly called to speak to it about the spiritual world in a way, asking people to choose the spiritual over the material.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a difficulty because they both come together. They're two sides of the coin. You mm-hmm. know, we're human and we're spiritual. And you set up one as being better than the other. And so my work is really designed to help kind of correct that misperception that we're getting mm-hmm. from the spiritual. It's all good. The spiritual stuff is good, but it's a little bit tilting you to one side and thinking
right.
that, for example, being compassionate is better than being angry.
Right.
I mean, almost every spiritual path says you should get rid of anger. And I have to say, you know, what you have to do is change your relationship to your anger.
Mm.
You're never going to get rid of anger as an animal, as a human being. It plays a function.
Right. It's your human side.
It's your human side, and it's okay. So to have compassion for your human side is to accept it and embrace it. It's not to keep forcing yourself to be different than you are.
Yes.
Granted, to say that if you have a lot of anger, you need to learn how not to throw it on everyone.
Right.
Because society doesn't work well with that, and that's not a loving and compassionate way to live in a world that you
yeah.
want to be a better place. So anyway, that's sort of where what drives me is I think there's a piece missing in understanding
mm-hmm.
how to bring these things together. And this is what I learned from my spiritual journey,
yeah.
and it's helped me, so I want to share it.
So love that little angry animal inside of you.
Yes.
It's your human side, right? Make peace with that side because you are human and you are divine and you are going to have these angry experiences. Hopefully we've given you some tools that will help and that will heal.
From a spiritual perspective, your anger would be called your divine discontent.
Mm.
And it is what mystics say will drive you to finally waking up to discovering that you are a part of the whole and that you are not separate from the divine. So it plays a powerful role in the spiritual world as well, in the sense of being discontent that is, you long to come back to being with God, with the whole, to know that you're a part of it without any question or doubt. It is only your divine discontent that keeps you moving towards that and saying, I want that, I want that, I want that.
Yeah. Well, that's the best way I've ever heard anger positioned. Your anger will enlighten you.
If you're conscious of it.
If you're the very one's first step, right? If you're
yes.
to do anything, be aware of it. Because I'm such a coach and I'm like, do the steps, move forward. What I would say is do the steps, move forward. Listen to Ragini's steps. 'Cause I really think that doing that alone, will get you pretty far. Honestly.
Well, you asked me, do I have time to run through these three steps?
We're going to put them on the website.
Okay.
We can put them on the website.
Okay.
So folks, thank you so much, Ragini.
You're welcome.
This was a delightful conversation. I love hearing your story.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to Chris at WBLQ. Next Thursday on Fired Up with CJ, it's the month of, next month is a month of the environment in April. So we're going to have four shows about the environment. Next Thursday, we're going to continue our March Madness, and we're going to be talking to Alan Eisenberg, who's the founder of Bullying Stories, a website with these incredibly powerful stories about bullying. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.